The very first Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Va'era cites a pasuk from Koheles, and it associates it with the beginning of Va'era. Moshe complains in the end of Parshas Shmos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispatched him to redeem the Jewish people, and since he came to Paro, as we would say, it all went south, and the Jewish people had suffered greater indignity, greater persecution, and greater bondage. Moshe is frustrated. And of course, the very famous fresh start and new beginning in Parshas Va'era. Rashi, at least, alludes to this Midrash and other Midrashim that Hashem had harsh words for Moshe, even though it's not in the text itself. The text itself speaks of, if anything, a preferential treatment for Moshe, that he will be exposed to a level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudkei Vavkei, that the Avos would be deprived, or were deprived of, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. But Rashi already alludes to the Midrashim that cite an undercurrent of critique or admonishment of Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes nostalgic, Rashi says, for the Avos who believed in him and trusted him through thick and thin, despite the hardships, and now Moshe has a level of fealty or timidity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is disappointed with. The very beginning in Medrash Rabbah, in Parshas Va'era, amplifies this issue by citing a pasuk in Koheles. Shlomo HaMelech himself writes, and that's what renders it ironic, Ufanisi ani, this is in Koheles Perek Beis, L'ros Chochmav Halilus V'Sichlus, I've looked at wisdom and its silliness. Here there's a juxtaposition between perceived wisdom and vapidity, inanity. Ki maha adam sheyavo achar melech, it's impossible to question the king, the melech machim lachim, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already decreed. So it's a pasuk which fits the overall ambience of Sefer Koheles, the ineptitude of man and the inadequacy of man when probing the infinite divine will. And the irony is that the Medrash associates this pasuk with one of Shlomo's most famous errors. Shlomo read the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tetzeh Eshoftim, which describes the prohibition of a king taking too many wives or having too many horses and gold and silver. And the Isurim, the respective Isurim, are punctuated with the letter Yud, Lo Yarbelo Susim, Lo Yarbelo Nashim. And the Torah comments the reason you shouldn't have too much money or too many wives is because all this opulence and all these wives will reroot his attention, his emotions from his task, whether it's the political task or whether it's just the delicate calibration of power with Yirat Shamayim and submission to Hashem. So Shlomo decided he was smarter. He was going to outwit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And he said, Hashem isn't opposed to too many wives per se, or isn't opposed to too many horses or gold. He'll say, I'll have as many, and I'll be careful. I won't allow my heart to turn. And of course, Shlomo realizes the error, and finally the pasuk, way in the end of Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Vayhi Le'Zikna Shlomo Nashav Hituas Livavo. So in the end, Shlomo realizes the mistake, the error, the great error that he took. And this Medrash quotes various nicknames that capture Shlomo's fail. So for example, one of his nicknames was Agur Ben Yaka in Mishlei Lamed, that He regurgitated Torah rather than absorbing the Torah. He regurgitates Torah. She'igar divrei Torah v'hikion. Num ha'gever li'itiel. One of the phrases, at least in Mishlei Perek Lamed, which this Medrash sees as a reference to Shlomo's itiel. Namely, I've got the strength, I've got the wisdom. Itiel, el doesn't just mean divinity. It can mean confidence and intellectual confidence. Va'uchal, itiel va'uchal. And another metaphor which the Medrash applies is of a conversation with the letter Yud in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that essentially Shlomo is attacking the weakest, most vulnerable letter in the Torah, the letter with which these two prohibitions begin, Lo Yarbe, Lo Nashim, Lo Yarbe, Lo Susim, and Shlomo Melech is compromising, is almost trivializing the letter Yud, and the Yud ascends to Shemayim and complains, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Yud, don't worry, you can come and go, and Shlomo's can come and go, but you'll remain eternal, and the words of Torah are eternal, and the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, and since it's eternal, it's also infinite. And since it's infinite, it's also unfathomable. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu omits the Yud from Sarai's name, but returns it to Hosea, who then transforms into Yahushua, to indicate the cyclical nature of letters and the durability of letters, even beyond time, beyond particular chapters of human history. A yud can be deleted at the beginning of Jewish history, but then be inserted at a crucial moment, at a transition seam of Jewish history, to Yahushua's name. And Shlomo, who only lives in a small swath of Jewish history, can't really affect the durability and the enduring nature of yuds. So this is all standard Midrashim chastising Shlomo, and in the end, Shlomo self chastises when he writes again in Koheles, Ufanisi ani leros perak beis chachma v'halulus, and he realizes by juxtaposing wisdom to silliness and to inanity, he realizes how inane his thoughts were. And then the Midrash transitions to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu also challenged the divine wisdom. He was dispatched to rescue the Jewish people. And he was, as the Midrash says, Meharer, Achar Midosav V'Gzeirosav Shel Melech Machem Lechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because every word that Hashem delivers is true and will be fulfilled. And Moshe should have realized, as we would say, long ball, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not playing for the immediate, but has larger issues and larger agendas, and something I've discussed in other contexts, that this isn't just the rescue of the Jews, but a debut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the international stage, and the introduction of monotheism and Hashem's role in politics. So it all has to come together, and it can't just be an immediate rescue of the Jewish people. Power must be involved. But Moshe doesn't get this, and Moshe is impatient, and he says, Lam Hariosa, Lam Hazeh, and he begins to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine will, and to a degree, that same folly is what Shlomo is rebuking in that pasuk in Koheles, and there's a rebuke for Shlomo and Moshe, yet the rebuke of Moshe is soft and the rebuke of Shlomo is harsh, and the rebuke of Moshe doesn't really lead to any personal consequences, whereas the rebuke of Shlomo does, more or less to the sundering of his melucha. So why does Moshe escape with a commuted sentence when each of them challenge divine justice? And the conclusion of this midrash provides all the difference. Ve'al davar zeh, the Midrash concludes, Biksha midas hadin lefgoav v'moshe. So, midas hadin was very disappointed with Moshe. Moshe deserved a punishment, and in the context of this Midrash, he deserved a punishment equivalent to the punishment of Shlomo. But there was a difference. Vaydabar elokim el Moshe. Moshe isn't punished, and he isn't admonished, softly maybe, in a backhanded, illusory fashion. There's an innuendo of chastisement, but why? Isn't he punished to the same degree as Shlomo? L'fishin istakila Kadosh Baruch Hu shebishvil tzar Yisrael diberkein. Kadosh Baruch Hu realized this wasn't Moshe challenging perceived divine injustice. This is Moshe impatient with Am Yisrael's suffering. Chazav v'nagim ob minas rachim. So Hashem looked kindly and favorably upon this. This is a very interesting interjection and a very interesting deviance or discrepancy between Shlomo and Moshe. Shlomo was involved in his own personal life and personal lifestyle, and he questioned divine wisdom, and therefore he was made to look like a fool, as we would say, to look foolish. Moshe Rabbeinu is accepting, to a degree, divine justice, but what does Am Yisrael have to suffer? It's almost as if he is prioritizing Am Yisrael over theology. And that love of the Jewish people, that commitment to the Jewish people, that disappointment that they have to suffer for some larger need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which of course we know we sometimes have to, but it's Moshe's love and passion for the Jewish people that gets the better of him, that leads him into this passing, almost transient moment of what we would call, not heresy, but heretical type of challenging, at least in Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega, but Hashem covets this. Hashem wants us to be insolent towards him when we're advancing or campaigning on behalf of the Jewish people. If it's about personal interests or personal philosophy, then of course our position to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be one of absolute submission and inadequacy. But when we petition for the needs of our people, this is of course the great voice of Hasidus, then we daven to Hashem for ourselves. It should be petitional and submissive and lack of deservedness. But when we daven on behalf of the Jewish people, there's an empowerment that can even lead to harsh, accusatory tones, because it's not about us, it's about your people and your children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are suffering. This is a very, very classic distinction, but it emerges from an interesting contrast between Moshe's challenging of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which can't even be deemed as heretical, and Shlomo's, which is severely, severely treated, and ultimately Shlomo acknowledges the fallacy of his arrogance to be able to decipher the unknowable divine will.